Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is delighted to find that the Edinburgh Fringe is getting loads of money. It's Richard Herring!
Oh, thank you. Oh, you're much better than last week's audience. What a load of pricks those guys were. Anyway, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to the co-presenter of Salvage Squad the other day. He calls it Relistopus, so I don't know if that's gonna catch on. I was delighted to hear the news that the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is getting £8 million grant from the government. It's fantastic news. It's so expensive to go up to Edinburgh, and they're spending it on a £7 million permanent new HQ for them. Can we sleep in it? Very angry. I'm very angry about that. Some stuff going on in the news as we recorded this. I've come up with a sitcom idea from this week. I mean, you know, the people in the future who listen to this will know whether this has come true. But there's a chance this week that Trump, Putin, and Johnson could all go to prison. I mean, that's a sitcom right there. And imagine that they're all. I think we could pull Johnson put in Trump, which. That's what I'd call it. You know, it writes itself. In fact, I'll just get an AI to write it. I think someone did. It worked out quite well. Stephen Hawking, the dead astrophysicist man, before he died, admitted that A Brief History of Time is wrong. I thought there was something off with that. So when I read it, I thought, I don't think this is quite right. Rupert Murdoch. He's getting mad for a fifth time at the age of 92 years old. Don't know how he does it. He's a pussy magnet. I don't know how he does it. I just hope this one works. I just hope this one holds. He did say that it'll be nice to share the second half of our lives together. So I'm a bit worried about what he knows about his own chances of... He's 92. I mean, he could live to 184, it has to be said. So there we go. That's some top. That's like a proper TV show, isn't it? They would do some topical jokes like that. It's like It's like a proper one. It's all I've got for you. Right, so it's all I've got. I've been in bed all week. I went to bed. It was Mother's Day yesterday. I managed to get up and help my daughter make breakfast for my wife, and then I went back to bed for the whole afternoon. She had to make dinner, lunch for herself. I came down for that, then I went back to bed. It was the best Mother's Day ever. Right. Let's see. My guest this week is probably best known for her research work on the show The French Connection, not the film. Will you please welcome the incredible Sophie Duca, ladies and gentlemen. Sophie Duca. Hello. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you doing? You look incredible.
Thank you.
Look at this.
Oh, it's not even the best. I'm wearing so many shiny things.
Yes.
I mean, everything's a great outfit for podcasting, but this is very... Wait. The audience looks so nervous.
Are you going to take this off as well?
I'm about to pull my top off. It's...
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was wearing my shiny bra. Yeah. Sorry, everyone. And corset.
Got to whack a tit out.
It's nice to see. Do you remember you did a lot of behind the scenes work before you started being a comedian?
Yeah,
it's not that long ago. So do you remember can you take us through the premise of The French Connection for those who may have forgotten?
The French Collection.
Collection was it? Oh.
Collection.
Oh,
it's a funny pun.
Okay.
Basically what it was one apprentice task but a whole show. So you had to go and get your French collection. So we went to loads of little random villages in France with three people who would buy a collection of five items. They'd spend 800 euros, they'd buy like 5 to 7 items.
Yeah.
They'd upcycle one, and upcycling is when you take like a vintage item and then ruin it. And then they would sell them again. In the UK, whoever made the most profit would win everyone's profit.
Wow.
It's
like the one that's on lunchtime, but in France.
But in France,
Homes Under the Hammer is one I say, but it's not called Bargain Hunt. That's it, you know, don't you? You found a bargain hunt? Yeah, why not? It's Le Hunt Bargain. That's what I'd have called it. And what research work did you have to do on that, Sophie? What part did you play?
It's sort of like working in telly as a junior person is sort of a kind of eternal being hazed, like they do in like... So we had a massive van to like take all the antiques back and forth from the UK to France in. And I got sort of strapped to the ceiling of that van with like gaffer tape.
Okay.
At one point I had to do a lot of translation work because in like a 20 person crew I was the only person that spoke French.
Yes.
And at one point we got stowaways in the van. It was just all in a day's work getting made like
you got strapped
£200 a week.
Can you not see that you got gaffer tape to the roof of the van?
Yeah, to the, like sort of to the ceiling and the walls, so like if you open like the van I'd be there like a sort of weird spider. Just strapped up.
Did they not like you very much on this program?
No, they did. It was affectionate.
Are you sure?
It was a very like boysy thing. Like it was very like we're out on the road,
yeah.
Waking up at 4, we're going to this French market, we're drinking lots of wine, we're breaking lots of broadcasting rules, that sort of thing.
So this isn't that long ago. You've become a comedian quite quickly, really.
Yeah.
And like over the most difficult time to be a comedian.
Yes. I think I might have said before that I am like a cockroach. I thrived in disaster. The pandemic happened and I rose from the ashes. Instead of a dark lord, you got a queen.
And the big news since we last spoke, because we spoke during lockdown, is that you've been on Taskmaster.
Yes.
And like all the best people, you have won Taskmaster.
Yeah!
You own a Taskmaster. You were there.
Thank you.
But even the better people, you've won it and also become popular as a result. I didn't think that was possible. I thought you either won and no one was interested in you, or you were rubbish and everyone loved you, but you were good and everyone loved you.
That is very kind to say. I mean, it's the best show in the world.
It
everyone
is.
Says this. It's sort of weird, like, becoming famous for licking things well. I mean, that's always how I thought it happened for me, but like it's sort of weird to do something that's so joyful but not really what you do.
Yes.
So that's been quite, it's like Taskmaster fans are also great, so that's been nice, but it is a sort of weird phenomenon, I think.
Yeah. What I liked about you was your relationship. I mean, there was many things, but I thought what was special was your relationship with Alex was particularly interesting. And I think, I mean, I think you're a fairly, an outgoing person.
I like to lick things.
He likes licking things and sniffing things. You're in control of your sexuality, and and I think Alex is sort of the opposite of that. And so it was interesting seeing. It was interesting seeing the two of you interact.
Yes. I feel like I sort of brought him out of his shell a tiny bit. I got him to stick his tongue out on the show, which was disturbing, and I made him put it back in quite quickly. But I think I don't even like, honestly, that you've said the words Alex and sexuality so close together. I like thinking of him as just like a lovely, like a sort of like a cartoon character.
Yes.
Or like a little avatar that only you can see.
Yeah, I like thinking of him that, but I think he's sort of a repressed, coiled spring that one day will snap and do something terrible. That's my guess.
Whoa!
Just my guess.
Okay.
There's a bit where he held your hair out of your face. I don't know if this is in a task or just in the interview. He had to do the steps thing and your hair was blowing across your face and he looked like pleased but very confused by what was happening.
What, by the concept of my hair?
I think just the touching a woman.
It could have been any part of the body. I rode him on the show.
Yes, that's true.
For people who haven't seen it, will be very disturbed. I rode him. I made him get on all fours and stick his tongue out. It was quite nice to watch that man do things that he shouldn't have been doing.
I mean, he gets treated quite badly. It is fun to mistreat him, though you did seem to regret when you did mistreat him.
Yeah, I think it's because he's so pure that you think, this will be funny. And then whenever, like, Greg's mean to him, or you're just like, he's just trying to photosynthesize. He's just trying to exist in this harsh world like all of us.
I think it's a sitcom. The two of you move into flat together. He just feels very awkward about the difference in your lifestyles, but somehow... No, because in a sitcom, nothing can change, can it?
So nothing can change.
Just carry on being
we just have to carry on.
Yeah. I'm going to pitch it. We'll see how that goes. And has the win? So you sort of feel like it's made you famous off more famous off the back of that? Do you think that's the? Because you've done a lot of TV. You have done a lot of TV recently, so it's not just that.
Yeah, but... no, it's not just Taskmaster. But I think it's like the uncomplicated happiness. Like people associate you with that. Also, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know my particular brand of like sexual racial comedy goes down well normally with like the under 10s, but being on Taskmaster means that lots of kids come up to you, which is great. I love that. Yeah.
And they're doing a kids version.
Oh my God, yes.
With kids as the contestants.
Yes, this is incredible. I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited because I think kids are meaner. Kids are sort of like harsher and also like more competitive than adults.
Won't they be crushed if they fail? I mean, if my kids, anything goes even slightly wrong, then they just... My son, it was Red Nose Day the other day, and my daughter got chicken pox put all over her face as well as a red nose, you know, pretend chicken pox.
Okay.
So my son said he wanted to do that as well, and he was really pleased. Then he came downstairs and I laughed because he looked funny, and then the whole... He's a weak child. The whole car journey to school, he cried and said, I won't want to go to school. People are going to laugh at me.
Oh, no.
And I said, but that's what we want. You want people to laugh at you. This is, and he loves making people laugh, but he became incredibly self-conscious. So I wonder if you'll just see a lot of kids have their spirit crushed.
And it will be amazing television.
It will. I don't think Greg's going to be the taskmaster on the kids one, but I wish he was. Cause...
I think it would be... I think the height difference already... But is already terrifying for someone like me. So I think for an actual child, it would just sort of be like, Iron Giant levels.
And do you fancy your chances in Champion of Champions? If presuming there will be one, because the 15th series is just about to start.
So
there will be a Champion of Champions, presumably, from the next five.
There will be.
Dara O'Brien, you're up again. It's a difficult group of people. It's a lot of the... I think the standard... I mean, obviously, let's ignore the 10th one where they were the best person ever, did it? But the standard of the last five has been very high.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah?
I feel like I don't know who I want to crush most. I think it's got to be Dara.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be, like, satisfying. I think he'd make a good noise as he fell. Just like, I was very intimidated by Sarah Kindle.
Yes.
In her series. So I feel like she's probably like a risky person to have in the mix.
Yeah.
But I think the satisfaction of taking down Dara,
yeah,
it should be the goal for everyone doing that Champion of Champions.
It's mainly females taking him down. And then if you win that, you can take me on in the Champion of Champions.
Is that a real thing?
Well, one would hope so. So it's not that far away. So like after this series, that we need to do 10 more series to get 2 more Champion of Champions. So that's fine. In 5 years' time, if they do it. There's already 6 more series booked.
Yeah, there are 6 more series.
So then you need 4 more series booked.
I feel
booked
like even if this isn't commissioned, you're going to privately organise this sort of death match.
Let's bring it together. Josh Widdicombe isn't interested. He's the first Champion of Champions. He said he might not do it.
Loser.
He's just scared. And what have you done with your Greg's head? What do you...
He's currently... I'm on tour at the moment and I went to Swansea and it was a 15-minute walk to the venue, and 3 minutes into the walk, I took an off turn and I bought a purple bobbed wig for Greg. So he's sort of... now he's where he's got a lovely like purple ombre wig on. Nice. I put him in like berets, I put him in do-rags. I sort of use him as sort of like little head model in my flat.
That's good. This is the truth. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a good use. It's a good use of him. How is the tour going? So the tour, this tour is called Hag. Is that right?
Hag. Yes. The show is called Hag. The tour is called The Best Time of My Life. Hag. I am halfway through the tour, although there's going to be an extension.
Great.
It's going well. It's sort of a mad thing to do to be on tour. I didn't realise how mad it was just sort of turning up in a town like the Pied Piper of Hamlet and being like, come, I've got tricks, I've got fun things to do. But it is really fun.
It must be the first time you've really done a...
It's the first time I've ever done a tour.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. She's left the sweet embrace of the M25.
Yeah. And so, but you're selling out and you're selling very well.
Selling very well, yeah, which is lovely. And I just really like it. I was worried I wouldn't like it because it feels like a way to be mentally unwell.
Yes.
I feel like whenever I say anything harrowing, I've got to sing it. Mentally unwell.
Are you on your own or have you got a support?
I'm on my own.
Yeah, it's hard.
No support.
It can be difficult. It's not bad if you're doing well. They're selling tickets.
Oh, yeah. If I was literally by myself.
Yeah. I've done tours where I've felt like I've been by myself. Though it can be difficult when you do like a very successful show and then everyone disappears into the night and you're on your own again. Back at what standard of accommodation are you staying in on tour?
Oh, yeah. So I'm quite a like frugal mouse.
Yes.
In Durham, I was trying to look for a cheap place to stay, and the cheapest place to stay was above a pub.
Yeah, I've done.
And it had, like, mainly good reviews, but the most recent review said, we stayed here for 4 nights, the bed was broken and there was blood on the sheets. And then they said that the landlord's friends were all very friendly, but that they also stole their possessions.
Right.
And I thought about staying there for about 35 minutes.
Right. How much was it?
It was £40.
Wow, that's a lot. It's a lot for getting your stuff stolen and blood and stuff.
Yeah, So I stayed in a much nicer establishment for £45, where there was no hemoglobin in the sheets.
No.
Yeah.
In Lincoln, I stayed. I got my car broke down and I had to stay in Lincoln. There was nowhere to stay except a room above a pub that cost £15 a night, including breakfast. And it's not that long ago. It's about 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
15.
The door had been recently kicked in and repaired. And it was obviously just like a hostel for the insane. And there was just a lot of movement in the night. And I didn't stay for breakfast. I can't give you a review of breakfast because I just left.
You didn't stay for the free breakfast?
I didn't stay for breakfast.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? £15 for the whole experience.
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
It was almost worth waiting to find out what the breakfast would have been.
Yeah, I forced myself to eat the breakfast because I didn't want them to think I was a pansy southerner. They were like, is there anything you don't like? And I was like, no, I eat everything. And they were like, black pudding. And I was like, yeah. And then I hid it in my napkin and took it with me.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, black pudding.
I like just a tiny bit of it.
Yeah.
I don't want a whole slab of black pudding. And also there was eggshell in it. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Wow. 45 quid. You're not I'm not expecting blood for 40 quid. I don't want blood on my sheets. And I don't want eggshell in my eggs. You call me old fashioned, but that's the way it is. When I was saying, you did Swansea. Did you find a nice place to stay in Swansea? Swansea's where I had the toilet was in the same room as the bed.
Oh, lovely.
It was in a little alcove.
That's a very sex-positive room. I like that. I got out of Swansea as fast as possible. Okay, I stayed in Cardiff. I think just because I've never really, apart from festivals, never really gigged in Wales before, I was like, in Cardiff, I was like, I'm going to stay at a nice place.
Yeah.
So I stayed at a nice place where they locked me out before I got in. And so I had to bang on the door.
Oh, no.
But it was fine. It was lovely.
I think it's worth spending the money on the hotels.
It turns out it's nice to have nice things.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it depends. It's so difficult. The economics of touring is very difficult.
Yeah.
But I think, especially if you do a long tour.
Do you ever foist yourself on people?
What?
I've been staying...
Yeah, if they're up for it. would you try and stay with the audience? Is anyone... I'm going anywhere to stay tonight. Anyone's got a sofa?
I actually talk quite a lot about threesomes in my show.
I know you do.
Oh, you do? How do you know this?
Well, I've read reviews and I've read about it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, I'm happy to listen. And imagine.
I'll keep my voice recorder right.
Okay, thank you.
I talk quite a lot about threesomes, which is not something I really want to manifest for the tour, but is if you talk about it on stage, someone will DM you about it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I did a whole show talking about threesomes, and I never got a threesome.
Yes.
This was before. I nearly did on the last night, and then I got into a fight, and then it was a good story for the next tour. I'm very jealous of you youngsters and the pansexual and the pansexual world you live in.
Oh, but we all live in the pansexual. You can live in the pansexual world.
I can't. My wife won't let me. Also, I'm just tired as well. I just want to. Like having one person to please is enough, right? I mean, I suppose the good thing about having two people is they can just do each other while I go to sleep. That would be how I would use it.
It is sort of like Task Rabbit.
It's a very positive thing, I think.
You sound so dubious, it's
but
untrue.
I'm an old person, so I'm, like all old people, I'm jealous that the world has changed. But, you know, as older people than me would be jealous of the sexual adventures I had. I think.
Yeah. When you say sexual adventures, you make it sound like Winnie the Pooh.
It is, but it, you know, there's been a sea change, hasn't there?
Yeah, a lot more people are sort of. I'm punching the microphone, which is not a good mime. A lot of people are talking about sex with more people.
Yeah,
and dressing up and all that sort of thing.
Does it make you happy though, Sophie?
No, I absolutely hate.
Yeah, good.
How
I'm glad,
much I fuck.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. No, it's a weird thing. I think it's like one of my friends, Olga Koch, a great comedian. I don't know if you've had her. Yeah. And her name also happens to be Olga Koch, which is just chef's kiss. said that if you talk about fucking, you have to sort of pretend you're not having a good time because otherwise it's not relatable.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, as a comedian, that's true. I mean, like, if you were, like, a porn star, you're allowed to say it's good. I think you have to say it's good.
You have to say it's good.
You have to say it's good. And it probably isn't if you're a porn star. But, yeah, you have to... You can't come on and go, I'm having great sex with lots of people.
Yeah. Oh, no,
thanks for coming to see me. Bye! You have to tell the stories of terrible disaster. Really.
Yeah. But sex is sort of like... Having a lot of sex isn't default good.
No.
Having a lot of sex could be having a lot of those breakfasts that were £15. Like, sex is sort of... Bleh,
yeah.
Bleh, bleh.
Yeah. To be fair, you know, it's not quite a lot of times I've had sex and then had those £15 breakfasts. That's a much worse experience to have both.
Okay, I don't know why I'm asking you this.
Yeah, ask me anything.
And I feel like I'm asking you this because I forgot that there was an audience. do you know what sploshing is?
Oh, I don't.
But people in the audience, because they murmured.
There's a few murmurs, not from the front row. They're all looking confused.
Okay, so sploshing is like food sexy time. So
okay,
you might
right.
like sit on the cake's face and like smush your bits about, or like rub baked beans over you and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you had to eat any breakfast food off someone.
Not baked beans.
Not baked beans.
No, definitely not baked beans. They'd have to be warmed up anyway. I'm not sure that would be so nice for other people. I mean, porridge. There's some porridge. there's some porridge going on to them.
Whoa! Porridge?
Yeah.
Warm porridge? Hot porridge?
A nice bit of hot with a bit of honey. Not hot, you know, warm. Nice on the... It'd be good for the skin, that. You could rub that in. Be popular in Scotland.
It, like, exfoliate.
Yes, it would be.
And you could call it Goldilocks and the Three Bears and all of that.
It's a good emergency question, though. Mm. I'm going to ask about splashing from now on. Yeah. It's a new world. It's a new world, isn't it? It's crazy. What do you think about that? Never heard anything like it. Let's. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Please do.
See if they go. I'll ask you. This is one of the. This is the best question that an AI has come up with. That so far, every answer has been good, and this is just, you know, it's in the same arena as what we're talking about. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love?
Oh, I baked.
You baked.
I baked. I was in love.
Yeah.
And I Googled what sort of cake. Do you bake for someone that you're in love with?
Yeah.
And Google was like, I don't know. So I picked a Swiss roll that when you cut into it, the little circle bit in the middle is like a heart.
Oh.
I know, but I don't bake. And I thought it was an easy kind of cake to make. So I wrote this person a love letter, and I bought like 12 eggs, and I tried to make the Swiss roll, and it looked, when I had finished baking it, like a hate crime. It sort of looked like an intestine because I put loads of red food colouring in it that had sort of exploded everywhere. It was cracked. There was sort of like cream cheese pussing out of it. It was the most hideous thing that I'd done, but I didn't want to... I'd already sunk the costs in the eggs and I decided that I was going to cycle around to their house like it was the 90s without informing them that I was going and turn up with a cake and a letter.
Yeah.
So I did. I covered it in icing sugar and I cycled over to their house.
Did they like it?
Did they
splosh it?
I'm not privy to what they did when they got the cake because I knocked on the door and there was no response. And I was like, well, that's why phones were invented. So I knocked again and there was no response. So I got my cake. I got my bike, really sadly, to cycle away. And then the door opened and it was their flatmate. And then I was just holding this horrible cake and I was like, I've made them a cake. I think they did like it.
Okay, it's nice.
It's nice.
It's a nice thing to happen. I did. There was a when I was like about 22. There was a woman I really liked, and we kind of had an on-off thing, and it was a sort of secret thing. Mm. But and there weren't phones in those days, really. So there was, you know, people didn't have mobile phones. So I went round to her. I bought a bottle of wine and some flowers from a news agent
garage.
And the flowers were pretty dead.
Oh.
And I went round to her house and she wasn't in. And I sat on the steps a bit waiting for her. And then I just left the flowers and the wine. And I kind of thought, this is like, I'm being like a stalker.
Yeah, that's a terrifying thing to have to
So, but then I left the flowers, the wine and the dead flowers on her doorstep for her. Which I think sort of is quite a scary thing to do as well. Yeah.
Did she ever receive them? Or did
I think she did get them, yeah. I mean, I don't think it... We still sort of carried on seeing each other a bit, but I liked her more than she liked me.
Yeah, that was clear.
Yeah. I don't know where she was.
I think that's really cute.
It's, well, it's sort of... It's sad, isn't it, thinking of me sitting there, my dead flowers.
Yeah. I meant to do that the other... I meant to get some flowers the other day, but then I was too lazy to leave my house and it was 5 p.m. on a Sunday and I didn't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can happen.
We only do what we can do.
You do.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right. If you were to go into a chrysalis, like a caterpillar, and dissolve, and you can come out of the chrysalis as anything you want to be, what would you like to come out of the chrysalis as?
Oh... I would like... Okay, do I have to go into the chrysalis? Is it annoying to ask follow-up questions?
No, you're, it's very important.
If I go into the chrysalis, do I go for as long as a actual caterpillar would go
into
the chrysalis?
Yeah, you go in and the same thing happens to you. A caterpillar dissolves.
Okay.
And then comes out and then turns into a butterfly. So you would dissolve. You can come out as anything you want.
I would like to come out as AJ Adudu.
Okay.
I love her.
Okay.
I think she's brilliant. I think I am a Poundland AJ Adudu.
Is she a footballer?
No. She was on Strictly. She's a broadcaster, presenter. She was on the. She's probably a broadcaster. She's like Northern.
Okay.
She's tall.
Okay.
She's perfection itself.
All right. I'll see if I can arrange that for you. I'll do one more AI question, then we're going to get back to the real world. I don't know what this one is. I'm going to just read it to you. Okay. Some of them are a bit weird. If you had the opportunity to choose between the ability to fly and the ability to walk through walls, but were told that you could only use one of these powers to solve a conundrum, would you be more inclined to soar through the sky or penetrate the walls of reality?
What?
I think it was very clear.
I mean... I miss Jeeves. I miss the old days of Jeeves. This AI stuff. A conundrum.
I mean, that's the weird bit of it. It's sort of, if it was, would you rather fly or be able to walk through walls? I mean, that's not a great question. But then you were told you could use one of these powers to solve a conundrum. Mm. What would the conundrum be that you would like to solve? What's the conundrum that you're most worried about? Is there a conundrum in the world that you'd like to see solved? The countdown conundrum's the only conundrum I can think of. It would seem a shame to use the power of flight to solve the countdown conundrum when you should just be able to do that.
It would get you out of there.
Yeah.
I think I would rather be able to walk through walls.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like either way you're getting sent to the lab. But you could really... I think what you could do, like, with, like, locker rooms and stuff, you could just sort of poke your head through and terrify people and then, like, put it back again. You could be cheeky with it. Flying isn't cheeky. Flying is showing off.
It is, but you can get to places. And, you know, there are doors, is what I would say. That's what I would go for. I don't know if this gives away too much about your show. This is something I read in one of the reviews of your show. All it said is you went on a cruise ship with 700 older lesbians.
Yes, I did.
Is that something you want to talk about, or will that give away too much?
I'm happy to talk about it. What? It's all I want to talk about.
How did the was every single lesbian older than you? First of all, or seven? Were there some younger ones? 700 older lesbians.
I think it was a sort of like Never Neverland for elder lesbians. Okay. Like it was a sort of like beautiful I don't want to say a safe space, but like a haven, a sanctuary.
Nice.
I think I was probably in the youngest five people on board.
Okay. And what attract? Were you working? Or
But it was kind of. I at the time didn't really speak about being like a queer comedian that much, so it felt very much like someone had seen me, and I didn't know. I felt like getting the Charlie Bucket golden ticket or something. Like I get to go to the factory. It was very intense, and it felt like I was going on a big journey.
Yeah, where were you going?
The Riviera,
okay.
The French and Italian Riviera.
Yeah,
it was a week long. It changed my life.
Okay.
It was incredible.
Okay.
One of the things that isn't in the show but is amazing that happened is that it was 700 adult women, elder lesbians. There were some onboard entertainers that hadn't been booked by the women. So it was the onboard entertainers for the ship, and they were just singing show tunes and love songs. And I went to watch them the night before I performed, and they were singing all heterosexual love songs.
Right.
So they were singing things like When a Man Loves a Woman to 700 women who were just going, boo! Boo! Or saying, When a Woman Loves a Woman. But they got through literally an hour's worth of material. And then every single new song was just another heterosexual, the only boy that could ever reach me. And I was like, stop singing! Stop singing about dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just change the word. Or, hopefully they were hoping maybe it was a cruise that was trying to convert.
It was a conversion cruise. Yeah.
So 700. Imagine if it come out and seven lesbians went, yeah, actually, thinking about it, what have we been doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're old. we've wasted our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I imagine it would get even funny. Did you do stand up on that tour?
I did stand up on the boat.
Did it work well?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
but I was terrible. It was mainly American women, and as we all know, Americans are really fun, and everyone likes them. Mainly American, mainly older. So I was they're not going to get any of my references, and it was just kind of joyful. I think it's a demographic of people that don't get to shine quite a lot because people aren't making making sitcoms about a 56-year-old lesbian butch woman who works in petrochemicals, but she is at the onboard party doing a do-si-do, absolutely living her best life, and getting to speak to older queer women was very cool as well. Yeah. There was a woman called Stephanie who sort of ordered ice cream for every meal just to fuck everyone up.
Sounds amazing. There was an interesting parallel between you and last week's guest, Suggs from Madness.
Oh, Suggs.
Shame you didn't meet him because it was last week. He was sent to live with his auntie in Wales as a young, as a boy for a couple of years while his mother was trying to find somewhere to live. And you were sent to live with your grandmother in Ghana.
Yes.
When you were young. So how old were you when that happened?
I was 4 years old.
Right. And sort of as a... Not a trick, but you didn't know it was going to happen, right?
It was sort of a clever prank my parents played. They were you're going on holiday. And then I was and then just sort of left while I was distracted by something shiny.
Yeah.
It was and I do make the joke that they did it just because it was slightly cheaper, childcare's expensive. but I think it was because they were working here and they were trying to be we're going to work, we're going to get the money and then we'll bring them over. But yeah.
Do you think it had... Any
lasting psychological effects?
Excellent.
I don't want to be too mean to my parents because it was a lovely time and I lived with my cousin and my grandma and it was really nice. But there was a bit where I just went on sort of a 4-year-old hunger strike and I wouldn't eat anything. And my family always says this is a funny story because my dad came back and I started eating again. But I told the comedian Kiri Pritchard McLean this story. Yeah. And she went, oh no, that's what dogs do when their owners go away. And I was yep, that's it. Yep, it probably was slightly traumatic. But I think that's a common thing in comedy where you're telling a story and you're oh no, this is not what happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of an odd thing, I think I might have mentioned this a couple of podcasts, but Matthew Perry's written an autobiography, and he's quite a damaged individual. And he attributes it, I think, I won't say anything more than that. I won't give my opinion. But he attributes it to his parents, split up, and then he was made to fly unaccompanied.
He should have walked through walls.
He should have done. He was made to fly, like, without, you know, on a plane when he was 4 or 5 without anyone looking after him. And so that's why he feels he has abandonment issues, and that's why he has to sleep with lots and lots of women and then leave them.
That's why I have abandonment issues and need to sleep with lots and lots of women.
Is that what it's like?
I think, I mean, like, I feel like it's quite, I feel like, I feel quite sorry for only children. I make him like, what am I trying to say? I feel quite sorry for only children, but I feel like I had my little brother, so we were always kind of like a team. Okay. And I was with family. But yeah, I think your parents splitting up, if anyone's in like a loveless relationship and thinking about not splitting up for the kids, yes, you should stay together and be unhappy. It's sort of, I don't know, it just sort of gives you like a slightly askew look on the world, which is sometimes quite useful, but sometimes quite sad.
Yeah. Sometimes you know, you seem to be quite together though.
Yeah.
Despite this terrible trauma that I'm trying to create for you.
but it helped that my grandmother was incredible, like a G. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't like just leave you in the
garden. No, I very much wasn't abandoned by the by the side of the road by my parents.
No, that's fine. Are you going to the Edinburgh Fringe this
year? No!
You happy about that?
Oh, I'm delighted about it. I'm so delighted about it. And also it gets to be like a moral grandstanding point for me when really it just means that I get to be happy and save money.
Because you were on, you know, you were nominated for Best Newcomer, or did you win Best?
I was nominated for Best Newcomer.
On the 2019?
Yes.
And then the natural thing would have been to come back in 2020 and, you know, sweep up the big
prize. I tried, but there was a national lockdown, so, yeah.
Did you get to go in 2021?
I could have gone, but I didn't want to go. Yeah.
And then you did 2022.
And then I did 2022.
Yeah. So that's, you know, it's quite a at that stage in your career, that's what I thought, this is the worst thing for new comedians. You know, there are worse things about COVID, but if we're talking about comedians, like if you got to that point where you'd put in quite a bit of work to get established and then suddenly there's 2 years away, that's quite annoying. But as you say, you did... things sort of happened for you in those 2 years.
Yeah, I think it felt really bad. Like, it feels like everything shut down, didn't have any work, couldn't perform. Everyone was sad, people were dying. But then things started to really look up for me. I think it's difficult because COVID, for me, was quite a bleak time personally. Like, and like I'm sure everyone has, like, weird stuff that was going on during that time. But I think because I'd worked so hard to get to 2019 in that year, it sort of just froze things. So you could just sort of focus and work, and people sort of trusted that I was a comedian because I'd sort of hopped on, like got my foot through the door kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. Mm. What do you think about the £7 million on the HQ?
I think they're cunts. What do they need an HQ for? What? They're not like Dr. Evil. Why do they need a £7 million HQ?
It's a permanent HQ as well.
A permanent HQ. Yeah. Oh, good.
So they, you know, they can be there through all the other months when the Edinburgh Fringe isn't on. They can be there.
Oh, God. I'm actually... typing. Yeah. I don't know who's responsible for what's happened to the Fringe, but I think they should be hung, drawn and quartered. I really do. I'm so angry about it because I love the Fringe. The Fringe is so magical and special, and I think it's absolutely on its knees.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does. Well, it does sort of worry me with that as well. It was terribly sad and hilarious to read all the comedians' tweets when that news came out. That you would just think, all right, there's £8 million, and we're gonna do something nice and help the next year's lot come up. And you know, with £8 million, we could probably find accommodation for 3 or 4 comedians for the entire run I'm talking about as well. It does feel a little... I understand, and they feel they're working for... No, I can't justify it. I was going to try and justify it. I can't justify it. But it does... that's what I felt last time. And I was up in 2022.
2022?
I think I was. That's awesome. And I think it was, you know, it just felt... you know, you have to be so wealthy to be there from either side, you know, from performing or going to see stuff.
Yeah. It had lost the vibe.
Yeah.
The vibe was gone.
What can we do?
The party was over.
Where can we go? Can we go somewhere else?
Swansea?
Yeah, should we all go to Swansea?
I'm up for going to another, you know, devolved power.
Yeah.
And Swansea is...
I don't think there was ever powerful in Swansea.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah. Okay, that's sorted. Let's ask. I'll ask you another emergency question. I'll do one more AI question, and here it comes. Oh yeah, this is the one. This will get out of us. Uh-huh. If you were stuck in a lift with a sentient jar of pickles that claimed to be your long lost brother, would you believe him? And if so, would you risk tasting his briny essence to confirm his identity, or would you prefer to remain a cucumber coward?
Wow!
I mean, that's the most amazing question. That is written so much in my style.
That is.
And yet I could never reach those heights. That's what I love about that question.
I've got a theory that you're writing the AI question.
They're just on there. I mean,
cucumber coward.
Cucumber coward is a great phrase.
It sort of reads like something that someone would write while under the influence of ayahuasca.
It could be. The thing is, you know, would tasting his briny essence confirm his, like, if you have a long lost brother, you wouldn't know what his briny essence tastes like because he's long lost.
Yes.
But even if you had a brother, if you knew what his briny essence tastes like, that would be problematic in so many ways.
It's like a sort of pickle-cess nightmare. I love pickles, though.
Do
maybe
you?
Yeah, I do love pickles. I love a sour tang. Whoa. I love a sour tang. I love a kimchi. I love a pickle. I love a cornichon. Like, do you like them?
I like pickles. I didn't know what what was the last one you said?
A cornichon. It's a French
Cornish
pickle.
Pasty. Cornichon.
Cornichon. Cornichon.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we bought a lot of those in the French collection. It's just upcycling pickles furiously.
I'll try it. I'm going to order
it's
it and try
it. It's just a pickle. It's okay. Like a little knobbly pickle, like one that's got lots of
like
bumps on it.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah.
I smoosh those all the time. They're very good for smooshing. All right, one more. There must be one here that isn't weird. What is the point of life if not to find something that brings you joy?
Okay, don't get weird. What a grotesque question. I think it's what is the point of life if not to find something that brings you joy? Maybe it's to... Oh, no, you're making me feel like a Miss World contestant. I was going to say, like, you can find lots of things that bring you joy, but they're usually just quite, like, navel-gazing, like, smooshing, sploshing, writing poems. Like, I think... It's probably crisps, isn't it? It's probably crisps.
I think joy's overrated, but, you know, it is... Well, what's the point?
What's better than joy?
I don't know. Joy is very ephemeral and passing, and you can't be happy all the time.
No.
So there must be more to it than that.
Bitcoin?
What's the point? Bitcoin? What's the point?
You're a man.
Am I?
Can you explain cryptocurrency to me?
Yeah. It's like a currency, but it's... I think you make it with electricity.
Yeah.
And then you can use it to buy things with.
You've just proved
people.
That gender is a construct.
I don't really understand understand anything that's happening anymore in the world. I've just got to that point where the world has become too confusing for me to operate in. It'll happen to you and you'll go, oh, I remember.
Is it liberating?
No, it's just I feel a bit detached. The thing that happens to me every now and again, and it stopped when I stopped drinking, but it's coming back a bit again, is waking up in the middle of the night quite confused and feeling like you're disconnected from everything and you can't quite make sense of anything. And you kind of start to think, as I get older, will this feeling just take up more and more of my day until I'm just confused for 24 hours a day and don't understand what anything is? Because it passes in an hour, but it's a horrible hour. In the middle of the night.
You know what I think you should do?
What? Go to
film it and put it on TikTok.
Okay. I'll give it a go. And then it's fine, an hour passes and you're fine. And I kind of got to the point where I go, I know it's going to be fine in an hour, but I still can't get the...
What do you do? Do you try and look normal while you're feeling confused? Like pretend you're like, oh, I know what I'm doing.
I try, but I can't. I feel sick. I'm feeling sick thinking about it. And I'm fit and I can't. I think it's usually just I've woken up from something that I've slightly forgotten about.
Yeah, well, I would love to, like, pick you up. Like, if I could, like, take you at that point and put you in, like, a compromising situation.
Okay.
And then sort of watch you try to, like, style out a threesome. Just be like, I know why I'm here. Yeah, I know these people. I know their names.
I could work with that. I can wear that. And then, of course, I said to my wife, I don't know how I got here. I was fine. It was all good. So, like, also in lockdown, you became... I mean, I think you've been working with Frankie Boyle, but you've become, like, a producer as well as of the Frankie Boyle's show, as well as appearing on it. Is that happened in lockdown, or was that before lockdown?
No, that was before.
Yeah, okay.
Before I was like, an assistant producer. Yeah. In the writer's room.
But now
Frankie.
You're on it.
Like... But now I'm on it.
Right, okay.
No longer in the writer's room.
Okay.
It's sort of a promotion, but also sort of a demotion. no, it's not. I've had, like, my relationship with Frankie has been, like, quite... It's quite nice to have a sort of taciturn pal. Like, a sort of someone whose life is, like, not really like yours in any way, but you just sort of get on. So that's quite nice. We went for sushi when I went to Glasgow.
Okay.
Yeah.
They've got sushi in Glasgow now.
They have sushi in Glasgow.
It's amazing. How do you think he'll get on Taskmaster, Frankie Boyle? I can't imagine it. I can't wait to see it.
I think that he... I feel like he could have quite good banter with the TM.
Yes.
Like, quite good invective.
Yes.
But I think fundamentally he will be bad at it. And I cannot wait to watch it back.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting, though, that exact thing.
Yeah.
That I think Greg might be a bit intimidated
by
Frankie.
I can imagine. I think the thing is that Frankie's actually quite nice, which I don't know if he wants people to know, but I think, like, the fury of Boyle versus Davis could be really quite chaotic. Just seeing, like, small puddles appear under the other contestant's seats.
I can't wait. Well, the people who are listening at home will know, because enough weeks will have passed for us to find out. And you've been writing. Have you been writing a sitcom and a comedy drama?
Right?
Can you tell us anything about that, or is it still under wraps?
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can or should.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm writing about the lesbian cruise.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? Would love to. Like, yeah, I have been writing about the lesbian cues, but I won't tell you in what format. I think, I'm looking. I'm always fantasy. When you write stuff, do you like fantasy cast it all the time in your head?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just like kind of like I've got a list of famous lesbians, which I keep with me. But I think without any context, it's sort of like a slightly bizarre thing to have on you. But yeah,
who's on your list of fantasy lesbians that you'd love to work with?
Fantasy lesbians I'd love to work with. Again, a worrying name for a list. Fionn Shaw.
Okay. Yes, good
yes,
choice.
Yes, yes. I got quite scared that people don't know.
No, I do know, yes.
Yeah, Fionn Shaw, who is on Killing Eve and stuff. Who's a fantasy? Oh, Miriam.
Yeah.
Yeah, love a bit of that. Who else is on the list? I think a lot of the people, I don't know if they can act, but I would love them anyway.
Yeah.
I now don't want to say anything because I'm worried that it will be bad.
Okay, so you don't have to say. And will you be acting in this as well? Are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to be playing yourself?
Get me on the boat. No. I'll be playing someone much worse than me.
Okay.
I think it's I've written something which is like. You know, you're sort of playing a character like yourself, but I think you never want to really be you.
No.
I find it amazing how people like May, they just write parts that are like about a character called May who is a stand-up and has all of May's personality traits amplified. It's sort of I would find that horrific to do.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's good. That's
but,
good.
I mean, May's done quite well out of it.
It's worked out for May.
Yeah.
Currently in Hollywood.
Currently
doing very well.
Okay.
And look, I wanted you've been on all of the quiz shows. So House of Games, I thought you'd do well on. You didn't win House of Games.
I didn't win House of Games because David Baddiel cheated.
What did he do?
He cheated. He shouted out when it was after time, and then I asked who shouted out, and it was me. But he took the credit,
what?
And then he won. And then he won the day.
How did
I'm so petty.
How did David Baddiel manage to convince people that you were him?
I don't know. I'm furious that I didn't win House of Games.
Oh, how were you close? Was it that close? Was it
I came point? Second every day.
Every day?
Every day.
So you didn't even get a single prize?
I didn't get anything with Osmond's face on it. Not even when I suggested sploshing after the broadcast.
And he didn't. He married one of the contestants as well. He didn't even get to marry. I'm furious. I've been on twice and he never even made a pass at me. So I'm pretty angry.
Maybe you were too good. It was intimidating.
Yeah, it might be that. I'm champion of champions of that as well.
Yeah. I think I think some of the questions are very hard for someone of my height and age.
I think you're right. I think it's why height, but they are. I'm not sure the height thing.
Not sure that
was their thing. Like, get this off a shelf.
Yeah.
I think they're very. I think that this is true of a lot of quizzes. That there's a lot of questions that you need to have been alive in the 1980s, conscious and alive in the 1970s
I wasn't alive
and 80s.
In the 1980s.
And I don't think they take it into account.
No.
And House of Games, I think, is guilty of that.
Yeah. Sorry.
So there we go. What about Celebrity Mastermind? How did you get on that?
Oh, won that.
Won that.
Won that. I want to be like an EGOT, but for British comedy panel shows.
Yeah. Oh, well, I do as well. I didn't win Celebrity Mastermind.
You didn't?
No.
What was your specialist subject?
Rasputin.
Okay.
I got the highest ever score, and I still didn't win.
Okay.
Because then someone got a 1 point more in the next when they
okay, so you didn't get the highest ever score.
I did at the point when I'd finished my round, and then the next person got one more point.
But anyone who goes first has the highest ever score.
I was third.
You came third.
I was second, but I was the third. I was the highest ever score on Celebrity Mastermind ever.
Okay.
Until the
so they were quite easy questions.
No. I'm a genius. I just happened to be.
You're a genius who lost.
I've just happened to be around with someone who was very good.
I agreed to come on this podcast again because I thought we were equals because we both won Taskmaster. But it turns out that you haven't even won Celebrity Mastermind.
No, but I have won House of Games and Champion of Champions House of Games, and I did get the second highest. Now I think the third highest ever celebrity score, which no one will beat because they've made the round shorter. How many points did you get?
I don't remember because
come
I
on,
have
you
a sex
remember.
Life.
What was your specialist subject?
It was The History Boys by Alan Bennett.
Okay. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that?
James
Corden fan?
No comment.
Okay.
I do love James Corden in The History Boys. I love The History Boys because I just thought I was a little northern white boy. And I did go to Oxford or Cambridge. I can't remember which. It's just such a great play.
You know, the thing that, and I'm talking about the film now, the thing I remember most, I don't know if they asked about this when you were in your questions, the only thing I really remember from The History Boys is there's a character in it who was the only one who didn't go on to be like a household name.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out of a shower and dries his hair, and his hair's really dry. I mean, he gets it really dry. And I'll never forget
you
his
really
use.
Got an yeah, they did not ask me
he
that.
Really, he rubs it and it comes out and it's really dry. And I can't. And you think out of all the actors, that would be the one who went on to be successful. Watch the film and then watch that guy and his hair comes out. It's almost like it wasn't wet. That's how dry it is. And every time I dry my hair, I think about that guy. I wonder if I can get it as dry as the guy who didn't become anything from The History Boys.
Maybe he had a good towel.
He had a good towel, but he had a technique. He really rubbed it.
What was it sort of like around the head?
You're
meant to scrunch it.
I think there might have been a bit of scrunch, but he really went for it. Watch the film. I mean, that's all I can... I've been surprised such an expert on The History Boys... didn't immediately understand what I was talking about. I'm so sorry.
If you asked
me anything about Rasputin, I would immediately be able to tell you anything you wanted to know.
How dry is his hair?
It was pretty wet in the end. He ended up in a river.
Wow.
Though right in it. When Rasputin was... They exhumed his body and burnt him by the side of a road and he sat up.
You see, that is not in the DreamWorks film Anastasia.
It isn't. Hardly anyone goes that far in his life, but that's the story, that they burnt his body by the side of a road, and as he was burning, he sat up.
It's sort of like the David Blaine equivalent.
And this was after he'd been dead for a while. But, you know, it's physics, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably made up as well.
Have you ever dressed as Rasputin?
Yeah, I did a show called Ra Ra Rasputin, in which I played Rasputin. It was the first jukebox musical that anyone had ever done. In 1991, I think it was, before anyone else thought of doing that.
Yeah.
I played Rasputin.
Cool.
Did all the Boney M songs. Remember Boney M?
Mary's Boy Child.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And other songs.
Yeah, By the Rivers of Babylon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We got into that one by going... I'd gone on a pilgrimage with Andrew Makayevich, who was played by Andrew Mackay, who's my friend. And then we went, oh, it's been difficult and it's been a long walk this. And I think, should we have a little sit down? Yeah, let's sit down here by these rivers here. And then we remember Zion, yeah, or Zion Harris. Yeah, it's good, he's a good bloke.
Sorry, I'm confused. And then we this sound, why is it not still running?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened. Sally Phillips was in it. She's gone on to be a big success as a result, I think. Being that. That was a while ago. So is there anything coming up you can tell? I don't want to hear about my Rasputin, but I've done two plays about Rasputin. I lost £45,000 with the second one. That's another story.
Ooh. That's a lot of...
I feel the Fringe Festival Fringe should give me £45,000 of that £8 million to pay back for my disastrous 2015.
You've got to put on another jukebox musical about Rasputin. I will.
I'll do
with the money.
I'll do another one. I'll do about Mar Baker next. That'll be fun. anything coming up you can talk about that's exciting?
I'm going on an even longer tour.
Hooray!
Yay! Well, I'm really excited. I'm going to be ending the tour that I'm on here in the Leicester Square Theatre.
Yes.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, you're right to applaud this theatre. but then in the autumn, I'm going to go and do some more Hags in places I've been before and places I haven't been before.
Brilliant.
And then I'm going to probably
Are you
do
bumping up venue size? Are you moving up a
yeah.
venue?
Yes. She's going in the big tank.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if I sell any tickets as long as I've got space to move around.
I think you will sell tickets. Fantastic. Well, do look out for that. Look out for Hag. I'm sure you'll be on all the big shows again and all the Cats Do Countdown and all that sort of stuff. QI, have you done that?
I've never done QI.
Have you not done QI?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I know.
I've never done QI. I thought it was just me they wouldn't let on.
No.
I think they're racist.
Yeah.
Against people from Somerset.
Yeah,
people from Ghana.
Yeah, I think that's what I always hear. Whenever yeah. I speak to anyone who's done it, they were like, they're always talking about Accra and Somerset. Weirdly. Now, I've never done it. When you've never done something and you've done like quite a bit of stuff, you're like, does someone hate me?
Yeah, that's well, I feel that a lot, but you know, but there's a lot of things
but
I haven't
I can't
done.
Think of any reason why any elder lesbians would hate me.
So. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, look, it will happen. I'll make it happen. I can make it happen.
But you can make it happen?
Yeah, I can make it happen.
You're pointing at me like a fairy godfather.
I'm going to go through walls until I find Sandy Toksvig, and then I'm going to make it happen.
Please don't leave her some dead flowers and a bottle of wine.
Look, it's fantastic to see you. I'm really glad everything's going so well for you. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up the amazing Sophie Duggar! You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sophie Duggar. Thank you to Scant Regard for all of their hard work on this music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much to Chris Evans, not that one, and all of the team from Go Faster Strike. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, especially Jess Davis. She's the best. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.